Check out Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. This podcast features guests from different walks of life who have wiggled their way into finding success in their chosen fields.
We're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to land our feet on the ground and be part of society. Who are we in society? How can we be useful?
Character development really did start when I cosplayed. You bump into troubles when you're younger, and then you realize, oh, I did wrong.
Get to hear insights on how to navigate the corporate jungle, even life in general.
Put integrity first at all times, no matter what it is that you're doing, because you can never go wrong if you stick to your principles.
I just chose a hobby that I like a lot and I'm passionate about, and then just put your heart into it and then make money out of it.
Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Download for free on Spotify. Follow the podcast and stream now.
Hi, hello everyone. Welcome back to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. I'm Zana, and together with me is Nico, and we have a special guest today, Nico, in this episode.
That's right. Zana, we have had a little pause in the podcast for a little bit, and I'm happy that we have someone joining us today, you know, to kickstart, you know, and resume the podcast episodes. Now, this man here is a multifaceted young professional. He is actually the lifestyle and sports editor of SunStar Cebu, one of the city's distinguished and prestigious newspapers. But how I caught wind of him was actually through his band, Bethany. They have two albums under their belt, and from the way it looks like there's going to be more coming. Now, on this episode, we will talk about work-life balance and how important this is, especially for the millennials out there. So everyone, please help me welcome to the podcast right here on Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, Mr. Luis Quebranza III. Hey, brother.
Yeah. Hey, bro. Hey, Zana, Nico. Thank you for having me. I'm stoked to be with you guys.
I know we have actually recently talked over the radio station where I work.
Yeah.
And we talked about you releasing an album, and you released the new music video, which is really cool. We're going to dive into that a little bit later on. But for now, let's start with your media connection, because not everyone gets to be connected to media. It's a bit challenging. So what drives you to actually choose the field? And how did you start your career with SunStar?
All right. So it's typical, you know, like when people tell people, like, you got to find your passion, you got to nurture it and grow it. It started off like that. So I love writing. That's the thing. Back in high school, I used to write like poetry and songs and all those sorts of things. And I went to a technical school where people ended up at like engineers. So I was quite the odd lot, but I just pursued my passion. And from there, I took up mass communications in college. And a SunStar is actually my first job fresh off of school.
Ooh, nice.
So I had my internship with SunStar. And ever since then, I just stuck it through. I started out as a lifestyle writer, eventually had the privilege to be promoted as lifestyle editor. And these days, where it's all about multitasking, and they also gave me a bit of the sports section. So that's how I ended up where I am right now.
Wow.
It's amazing how you achieved all these things at a very young age, because my dad was also with SunStar, but that was like eons ago. So it was it's amazing how you're able to achieve all these. So you mentioned, like, when you were younger, you did poetry, you write songs and everything. So you really had a thing for words. Was this like an influence from the parents, or how did that come about?
You know what? I'm not sure how the, like, family genes work out. Yeah. My grandfather was a lawyer, and I think one of my other grand folks was a politician. So it's like maybe I got it from there. And I remember my dad was like, Zana's laughing. But yeah, my dad's like, I think there was like pressure to be a lawyer, and I never really just. Like what I've said, like I go back to the passion thing. You got to love what you do to be able to grow. I mean, to an extent, you have to guard yourself sometimes. But yeah, I believe the writing was really in there, and I just had to nurture it. And every day's a learning experience. Like even up to, until this day, even I have like more, I've been in the business for more than a decade. I measure myself according to my last output. Like I'm just good. Uh-huh. That's my last story. Like all the other years, they don't count. So it's an everyday learning experience for me.
Okay, I just need to level with you because you're a MASCOM graduate. Are you good with math? Yes or no?
Oh, damn. Okay, that's one of the things that really motivated me to take up MASCOM.
Yes.
You know, everybody gets that.
I agree.
I remember we had two math programs. We had courses. We had algebra.
Uh-huh.
And statistics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Algebra, statistics, yes.
Oh, I almost flunked algebra, I swear. I swear. But yeah, thank God for classmates who are smarter than me.
Zana, it's a common denominator for MASCOM graduates. We hate math. So that's it. That's the motivation. Let's look for courses that don't have a lot of math in them. Yeah. So
all right. So the one of the good things about print, right? So one of the, again, my motivation. So aside from lacking in math, one of the good things about print is the schedule is a bit more organized compared to broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. Especially TV. I'm talking about, because it was like back then, it was radio, print, or TV, right? So if I was going to pursue writing, it was either television, where I'm like a broadcaster or an anchor or a reporter, or the paper. TV, I couldn't control the time. Because there's breaking news. I used to have my internship in one of the local stations, and I was up graveyard shifts covering fires and crime. Right? Papers a bit more organized. We have deadlines by the end of the day, printing at night, releasing them by midnight. So I consider myself, you know, one of my, I think personally, it helps me be more excellent when I stick to the time schedule. So what's it like in my day? Okay, our stories are planned way ahead of advance, like a month in advance.
Mm.
So it's more of execution during the day. I have writers who are really awesome writers, by the way, so they help the team. So a month in advance, they're all plotted. We know what to do, and then it's execution. By the day, collect the stories, form the stories, and release the stories, and then simultaneously release them digitally in the age of social media. Of course, there's still a few. That's why my calendar's booked, because there are events, you know, like business months and food restaurants and concerts and events happening here and there. So usually those things happen like lunchtime or dinner time. So it's just a matter of fitting in the items, itinerary for the day.
Question though, Luis. Now that we're in the digital age, and we still have, of course, the guys in their 40s and 50s, they're so used to having the newspapers. You know, they hold the newspaper in hand. Right? Yeah. For us, since we have the smartphones, we're so used to reading things off the cell phone already, or the laptops, or what have you, right? Personally, for your taste, do you still prefer like print media, or are you now more in tune with digital media?
Right. So I consider myself like part of a weird gap in generations. Like I grew up with traditional media, but I lived through the transformation to digital media. So going back to your question, I from a usage or user standpoint, I am a big user of digital media. Who isn't? Everybody is. But
you have to adapt.
But the thing about newspapers, I consider it a really good hedge, you know, like just like an investment, you can keep all your eggs in one basket. So particularly now, Sunstar, the paper will, I don't know if I'm supposed to share this, but we don't have plans of folding the paper, right?
Oh.
Digital goes strong, but we believe in the paper as a hedge. Like for one thing, we have a market like who still reads the papers, especially the subscription-based. And the other thing is we treat it like it serves its purpose as a historical document, archiving.
That is true.
Because like newspapers sometimes get a lot of flack, like, oh, the newspapers are old, let's go to digital. Sure. But then when people get featured in actual newspapers, they're like so happy about it.
You need to cut it out. You need to have a cutout of it.
Yeah, I was like, I got my wedding featured on the paper. I bought like a ton of papers. So what is it really, guys? So it's, you know, it just goes to show that there's really room for papers. It's just finding the niche, like what you want to do with it, how you want to approach it. Yeah, and but again, it's a learning experience. It's a tough time. I'm not going to lie and say it's been a better process. It's typically like really a tough time for the publication, especially print, you know, these times. But yeah, I use digital, but I believe in the use case of print as well. You know, maybe not anymore dominant, but there is a place for print.
I know this is like funny and it's illogical and irrational, but you know, when you actually read something on digital, you take it like a, you know, like a pinch of salt. You just go like, ah, yeah, okay. But if something is printed on paper, it makes it more legit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dana, that is absolutely correct. Okay. As writers, reporters, and editors, sometimes when you publish something digitally, you're thinking, or at the back of your mind, you're like, the back of your head, you're like, I could edit this when I make a mistake.
Yeah. Mm.
But like when you make a mistake on paper, it's, oh my God.
It's forever.
It's forever. Yeah,
okay.
True.
All right. So like, we're going to be sharing this publicly, this podcast, right? So I'm going to share something and I'll try to keep some details outside. So I hope nobody from Sunstar sees. so like I had an error, spell check, autocorrect. So a last name got like botched, right? A prominent last name got botched.
Wow.
And I had to like call the printers, like stop the print. No, they weren't printing yet, but financially it cost me to make a change for that last name because of autocorrect.
Okay,
correct. So yeah, there's like what you were saying, Zana, there's definitely a degree of excellence when you're publishing on paper compared to digital.
Two things I wanna like interject into this. Like number one, what I love about print is that you can actually smell the ink. You know that feeling? You know what I mean, Luis? When you grab the paper, you smell that ink. Mm. Kind of like when you're opening a cassette tape back then of your like favorite band, and then when you pull out the inlay, check out like the lyrics, or you know, just want to read off whatever is in that cassette. The smell of ink holding on to an actual like piece of history. So that's
it's true. Like what I mentioned earlier, like of course I'm not gonna say like paper's number one. Of course social media is. But from a business perspective, which I don't really handle because I'm part of the editorial team, you know, but from a business perspective, it's just taking care of what we have. We've built the trust for over 25 years. True. You know, so whatever we put out, digital or print, it's gonna matter in the community. So, like, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. And, of course, we cater to our old audience, but not alienate the younger audience.
Mm-hmm.
So our younger audience can also check us out on digital, on social media, and find a way to tie up the publication ecosystem together, which becomes complementary.
Mm.
So it's just a matter of figuring things out where one serves another purpose.
Yeah, it seems that you know, like being lifestyle editor, of course you're going everywhere, anywhere. Well, I'm jealous that you get to sample all the foods and stuff. So and then you have your band Bethany, right? So how do you feed all this in your day with your band practice, your songwriting, your writing articles for newspapers? How do you organize your day?
Plus, he's recently married, Zana.
Oh, recently married. He looks 21.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, I was about to say, I got to get a paper from 1999, bro.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So he's younger than you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for rubbing it in, Zana. Thanks.
No. So yeah, no, I'm an 80s, 90s kid. But basically, so yeah, back to Zana's question, it definitely gets tougher. It gets tougher. Like what I mentioned before, like during our conversation, I started Sunstar as my first job off of college. So back then it was easier, like school and then all the money that I, like first job, right? So my pay went to the band. Like what else would I pay? Went to my instruments or like fun. And then a lot of years after I grew and I had to balance time and all that. But I guess, you know, going to the crux of what I'm trying to say is that it goes back to passion. The one thing that Sunstar offered me that has allowed me to stay and pursue my other interests, like music, most importantly, is the flexi time. Like, they were very open. The institution was very open about it. Like, you know what? Like, we know we're not offering the moon here, but, you know, we believe this is a good enough compensation. And most of all, you get flexi time so you can work on your schedule however you want it. So that is like the key ingredient that has allowed me to pursue my passions. Like when we're talking about the band. Yeah, man. Like that's Sunstar and my band kind of complement because they're both like creative pursuits. They're like around the same field, and time-wise, the pockets of time that I don't use for Sunstar, I get to spend it for music. But yeah, that's about it. It's basically the flexi schedule that allows me to pursue more music.
How about you now? Now that you're married, how did that like change things? Has it changed it a little bit?
There's kitchen duties. Takeout the trash duties. But it's all good. I have my guitar you can't actually see it, but it's like under me right now. So the guitar is pretty close. So every time I get time to bust a song, write a song, play a tune, then I just get my guitar out. Yeah, it's a challenge, and I embrace the challenge.
You can now write songs about taking the trash. Moving right along. Let's talk about the band life. Yeah, Bethany. Mm. Why the name Bethany? How long have you been together? And man, like an even like more important question, how do you like find time to make music now that your brothers, you know, they all have their respective careers? How do you go about it?
Oof. Thank God for Messenger. So group chat.
Okay.
We keep it. So there's like three main bros that keep the band afloat because we're a band of brothers. And like the founding members are like the three bros. So the three brothers kind of like keep each other in check. So like, and it's seasonal. So when two brothers are like chilling, the other one goes, hey, we have to shoot the music video. Hey, we have to write a song. Mm-hmm. So it's complementary in that sense. Now, the earlier question, why Bethany? Okay, so we live in Guadalupe. It's a small neighborhood here in Cebu. And a bus pulled over, and it's like a school bus with the name Bethany, and we're like, you know what, just name it Bethany. And then
that's a school, right? Bethany something something school. Yeah.
And then what pushed it all the more is that we were making fun. You know what? When we blow up, we're gonna name our fans Bethanists. And when we have crazy people following the music, let's call the study of our music Bethanism. So we're like kind of building a religion or something.
Yeah.
And if you're a medicine, you become Bethanol.
Nice one.
Bethanol. Yeah. Definitely. That's up there. But, you know, a decade after, we don't have Bethanists yet, so we're still working on it, man. So
that's really good story. I really like the band of brothers. You know, it's not just about pursuing your passion, but it's also keeping the family together.
True.
Zana. The family is actually, aside from food, right? We're musically inclined. Mm. So the five brothers, to a degree, play all sorts of instruments. Mm-hmm. But no regrets. My parents, I think, I love the secret.
They are happy when you're happy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, exactly. And they're just like, all right, what do you want to do? Are you good at it? Mm-hmm. All right, do it. Mm-hmm. And that has allowed us to grow in an environment. It's happy. It's full of love. It's full of support. And we are our harshest critics. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Mm. After our gig in Ayala, you should have seen our group chat. Seen our group chat, and there's like already like criticism. All right, you got to do this better next time. You do this better.
Good. So you have a post every time you played. You have a post mortem and say,
true,
we should have done this better, or this one didn't work well. Blah, blah, blah.
Zana, so, you have no idea how stressful post gigs are for us. Oh. Like our wives probably know it already. Like when we play a gig, we give ourselves like scorecards. Like, oh, that was a B. You get an A. You get a C.
I see.
So it could go toxic, but because you know you know how there's this saying: familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes, right? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Oh, friendly. So because we're brothers and we know, like, we take each other's tirades. Like, we know that, you know, like, how to explain this?
Accept it, good and bad and ugly.
We get used to it. So there's also that when you're playing with strangers, you see a line that you don't cross. Uh-huh. Because we're playing with family. Sometimes we tiptoe over the line and say, "Hey, you suck. Be better." Mm. But yeah, it's a tug of war. But so far, so good. Nothing's toxic. It's been great and it's been awesome. And I wouldn't choose any other bandmates. These guys are the best.
It's good. I love that.
Touch a little bit about the new music video that you just released. They had to put a quick pause on it because of the pandemic, but then now that everything's like lifted, they actually just released the video to Bright. Now, what's amazing about the video is that I think I have to agree with you on this, Luis, when I talked with you over the radio station. This is actually the first stop motion animation video created by a band here in Cebu. Because just tell us more about it, Luis. I think you can give us a better grasp of like the entire thing.
Yeah. So, okay, Bethany has always been about one thing we want to take care of are our music videos. I believe we have four right now. And if some people have taken the time to watch them, we really put a good amount of effort in our music videos. But when the pandemic came, we had a problem because it wasn't easy to produce videos. Like, how could you get people together? How could you get the crew together? There's the time aspect, there's the health aspect. So I am very fortunate to have, you know, of course, I've met my wife. And then my wife's cousin is a super creative dude based in Singapore. And we were like talking and I was like, hey, can we like come up with something fun? Like, maybe stop motion, and he was game, and yeah, so that's how it happened. We were like, you know what, for a change, let's do stop motion. So we took one single off our album, he shot the storyboard, I added a bit of script writing, we let the project cook for about a year because it's not like fully developed yet. When it was fully developed, we released it online, and we're very happy to have released, and here's the star of the show.
Yeah.
So this,
what's his name?
This is L.
Elephant.
L for elephant.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is I think this is Steve.
Steve,
and this is Robbie.
Robbie the robot. Okay.
Right, and this is Nat. N-A-T. Nat.
Nat.
For Natasha or something.
Natasha. Okay.
So yeah, so those four dudes are the stars of our latest music video, and we had fun. We had fun producing it.
Well, so is it on YouTube? So how do we search for that music video? YouTube. Just search Bethany.
I believe you just do Bethany Cebu and then Bright and it comes out.
Okay.
But the song's called Bright, by the way.
Yep.
Bright.
It's Bright.
Okay. Bright.
Check it out. We have two more questions. I'll throw this one and then Zana can give you the last one. Luis, what's the most rewarding thing about the career that you have? And if you were not with Sunstar and with the band, which path would you have chosen? You know, if you were to live like a totally different life.
A dentist.
Oh! Never in a million years would I have thought of you picking that answer.
Oh, yeah. Same here, bro. I never really thought of that, not until like 6 months ago, maybe.
Okay.
So I realized that I'm pretty OC, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty OC, and I realized that dentistry could be like one of the most artistic medical things, you know, because your set of teeth is like, it doesn't change. That's like standardized. I mean, everything is like your heart is here, mm-hmm. your lungs are there, but like there's something about teeth where it's like, it should be all the same size. It should be like all the same health. So I was very intrigued by the idea. And I figured out, you know what? Maybe in another life, I could have been a good dentist.
Going back, what's the most rewarding thing about the career that you have?
Okay, there's like, I'm not going to say like it's all because of my hard work. I think a lot of it has to also do with being in the right, in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I learned something about just being ready, that like staying ready for your opportunity, because you never know when these opportunities come. So the opportunities arrive. I took them, I nurtured them, I nourished them. And I think the most rewarding thing about what I have right now as a professional is like being able to speak from a platform where people listen to you.
Yeah.
Like there's mm-hmm. there's a degree of I have this friend in the States who calls me like the mayor of Cebu.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I enjoy that particular, that degree of influence. I think that's very rewarding. And it's also a responsibility where, you know, you get to shape people's thinking without mm-hmm. being a politician. You know, I don't have right. to play the game. I don't have to play the games. I don't have to. So I take it seriously, like, and responsibly. I don't want to squander the blessing of being able to talk to people and like sharing to them what I know and what I've already experienced.
That is true.
All right. Responsibility. Everybody can write, but not many who can actually write honestly and responsibly.
Yeah. Zana, if I may share. So that's a blessing about being a media here in an island like Cebu. Because when you go, like, when you get past the demographic or the business scale of a place like Cebu, it's going to be a rat race. And that's where, like, media gets cluttered and, like... Mm. Yeah, that's a different game. But like Cebu is relatively small. People know each other. It's more of like building up community. The journalists here kind of get it as well. Like, we don't want to be treated like royalty. We just want to like serve and, you know, be respected for what we do.
Okay. That's good. It's good. So our last question, right, Nico?
Yep.
What would your advice be for the young ones out there who's trying to balance work life, you know, work and life, pursuing passion, but have to have career and not get overwhelmed by it all?
That's a tough one. I guess let's first like define...
You handle it well. You seem to like flourish in both, you know, like your career and also your passion in doing your band. So what's your secret sauce there?
Well, I think the first one is like for the young people like listening, tuning into this right now is the vision. You can't like enter into something without knowing what you're there for. Okay, so when it comes to media, to my media pursuits, as I've mentioned earlier, I respect the privilege of being able to speak out on a platform. And I'm there for a reason. Like, I know what I'm there for. I may not be able to share it now, but And it's the same thing with my music. I know what I'm there for. There's a vision. We're just not here for the beers and for the bars and for the clubs. You know, there's a vision to what we do. So it keeps you grounded. It kept me grounded. Like, of course, there will be like swaying along the path. But if you have a vision, you're like, oh, don't worry. It's like we're headed this way. It's going to take a long time, but eventually you'll get there. Now, on the discussion of balance, I don't like to think of it like I don't want to use time as the determiner for balance. Like, oh, you got to spend 6 hours here and 6 hours there, and that's balance. Mm. Nah, I think it's like you have to weigh your... When you do a particular thing, you have to weigh your how it means to you. So like 3 hours of band music really feels good. So I'm going to match it up with 7 hours of actual work that pays for my band. So, it's not time. It's I can't find the words, but it's what you feel. It's maybe Nico, you could help me out here. But you get it,
emotional,
right?
Your emotional benefit, basic, maybe. How does it feel for you? You know, like, let's say you really love songwriting, and then you spend half an hour songwriting, but how it benefits you, how it makes you feel good for the next 5 hours, you know?
That's like my safeguard to balance, because if you're if you're not enjoying it, find something you enjoy. Don't stress yourself out. And of course, lastly, so there's vision, there's the balance aspect, and lastly, you gotta be. I had to learn how to be organized. Like, you can't just be happy-go-lucky, like, oh, let's go where...
You can't be winging things all the time.
Yeah, yeah, to a point you can, but no, man, like, you gotta be organized. Like, I have a mirror. I have a mirror here at home where, like, paste all my... the events that I have to attend, and, like, you gotta have a calendar. To a point, you have to be organized. You have to match your feelings with your head. You can't just go 100% feelings. It's gonna mess you up. So that's it for me.
I wish kids would actually tune into this and take the last thing you said, like, don't take everything like to heart, don't be too emotional.
I was thinking about, I don't know why I was thinking about it like 4 hours ago.
Yeah,
but when it comes to youth, I don't know if you're like 18 years old or 21, 22 years old, just go love a person, love what you do. When you get hurt, just accept it. It's all part of growing up, and you'll eventually you'll get to a good place.
Be like Taylor Swift. Get your heart broken. Make a song.
And make lots of money.
The way that it works now for you is that you have already owned your time. You now own your time because at a younger age, you pursued your passion and you became so good at it that it makes money for you. So that's exactly what I dreamed of when I was in college. I told myself, when people were like asking me, what's your dream? My dream is to own my time. Because if you own your time, you have come to a point where you are good at what you do, that you don't need to be there for like a good 9 hours. You don't need to spend the entire day doing exactly that. Man, that's an awesome
good
episode.
Good advice, Luis. Wow. I hope one day we can actually meet face to face, and then we go seriously.
We're going to have lots of things to talk about when we get this guy in the room, Zana.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And then like you need to tell me when is the next Bethany's gig?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
So, Luis, thank you again for joining us on the podcast for Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Go ahead. If you want to do a shout out, if you want to plug anything, the floor is yours.
Yeah. So, first of all, thank you, Zana and Nico, for having me at Finding Mojo. It's been a great time, and I don't do this often, but when I do, I really have fun. And I'd like to give a shout out to the band. Please do check out Bethany. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, Facebook, IG, and soon to be on TikTok. We're figuring that out. We're no dancers, but we'll get there. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's it for us. That's it for me.
And,
all right.
With that, we end this episode of Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, brought to you by our friends from BSA Solutions. That's about it for us. Till the next one. Cheers.
Right. Cheers. Thank you, Luis.
All righty.
Bye. Bye.
Check out Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. This podcast features guests from different walks of life who have wiggled their way into finding success in their chosen fields.
We're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to land our feet on the ground and be part of society. Who are we in society? How can we be useful?
Character development really did start when I cosplayed. You bump into troubles when you're younger, and then you realize, oh, I did wrong.
Get to hear insights on how to navigate the corporate jungle, even life in general.
Put integrity first at all times, no matter what it is that you're doing, because you can never go wrong if you stick to your principles.
I just chose a hobby that I like a lot and I'm passionate about, and then just put your heart into it and then make money out of it.
Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Download for free on Spotify. Follow the podcast and stream now.